It's the OG, Jonathan Rand in the hosting chair. Joe Ovius and Joe Giglio out today. Do not adjust your radio dials. Yeah. Dennis Cox sitting across from me in the producer's chair.
Slackers.
Right? You'd think it's late July or something.
Right.
You would think.
It's not like there's sports happening.
No. We had training camp. What are we doing? There's no time for PTO. We're excited to be here. I almost felt bad interrupting Prince there, Raspberry Beret, but we're excited. As I said, it's the OG, Jonathan Rand, in for Ovius and Giglio. Ovius will be back tomorrow. Dennis, it's training camp season.
Yeah, it is.
It is training camp season. Can you feel it in the air?
You mean the hot stickiness that's going on right now?
That's fair. The Panthers are in Spartanburg, South Carolina for training camp, and it is hot. It's hot here, too. But you know it's hot when the players are complaining about it and talking about it. Obviously, lots to talk about today. We will talk Panthers. We will talk ACC football. We've got preseason awards going out already. Are there trophies for that? Do we know? There are trophies for that. Okay, cool. Awesome.
You're a state thing. You should know
this. We hang banners. We make T-shirts for that. So we will talk about that. We'll talk with Luke DeCock at the 4 o'clock hour about that. We've got a big show today. So we're going to go ahead and get started. As we said, it's Panthers training camp taking place right now. Baker Mayfield down there, Sam Darnold down there, Matt Corral down there, PJ Walker down there, Teddy Bridge. Well, no, hang on. No, we only have four Panthers quarterbacks, right? That's it?
For now.
We're good for now. So Baker Mayfield's down there in his first day in training camp, as well as Sam Darnold. Dennis, are four quarterbacks too many? I feel like it's a little crowded.
You have to have camp arms.
That's right.
That's the thing.
That's right.
All these reps.
Yes.
You have to divvy them up. And who's going to play that third preseason game?
That's right. Yeah, we need some. That's PJ Walker's special, right?
Yeah, he is auditioning for the USFL or the XFL.
He is the XFL Mahomes.
He's the XFL MVP as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Already preseason, if we're handing out preseason awards. Mm-hmm. We're going to go now to Baker Mayfield. You know, he talked about, obviously, he's only been here a week, right? Or a week and a half, give or take. And that's the big news in Panthers world, right? Is you've got Baker, you've got Sam. Who's going to start? Sam's making $18 million, but Baker just got there. Obviously, for the Cleveland Browns, that opening week game, you kind of want Baker to start because you kind of feel like that's a revenge game. But Sam has the upper hand. He's been there for a year longer than Baker has. Baker Mayfield talked about how far he's come with the playbook so far.
Well, from the last 2 weeks, considering I didn't have it 2 weeks ago, I've come pretty far.
That's a lot of confidence.
Yep.
That's our starting quarterback. Does that instill confidence in you, Dennis, right now?
Sure.
Yeah, it's fine. I actually don't mind it. Baker, my favorite quote from Baker so far in the training camp seasons is, I don't know why I decided to do this. Maybe this is, if I'm reading too much into the tea leaves about questioning quarterbacks' decision-making skills, you know, that's important for a quarterback. Baker wore what to training camp?
Pretty stupid for wearing a long sleeve and pants, so. But I'm stubborn, so I had to learn for myself.
Baker, you're not in Cleveland anymore.
Yeah.
It's hot, Baker. I'm already questioning his decision making. I'm already questioning it. I'm a little bit worried.
Well, here's the optimism side here, John Rand. The fact that he says that, you know, I'm going to learn my lesson and improve on the next
day. That's fair.
He's probably checked tape with Matt Rhule and said, you know what, that wasn't a good decision. Now let's get better.
Did he check it with Matt Rhule?
I mean, you know Matt Rhule loves checking
he
tape.
He does. He eats tape. He's a tape eater.
I tell you, one thing we're definitely going to do is after every practice, we're going to look at our reps. We're going to make sure we check the tape and make sure that we get improvements and that all of our guys are in a good positions to be successful, because that's what we're going to do as a coaching staff. And as a team, we got to make sure that Sam and Baker are also doing their role as well.
That was not Matt Rhule. That was Dennis Cox, but that was impressive because that is absolutely a perfect Matt Rhule impression. It reminds me, shout out to show fam Candace Cooper, Locked On podcast, Locked On ACC podcast. She has pretty much figured out Matt Rhule. Whenever he, which is 75% of the time, whenever he starts speaking quickly like that, you know he's trying to sell us something, which is, you know, good for him because he sold David Tepper on the job. So we talked about Baker Mayfield. Maybe you're right, Dennis. Maybe Baker is just learning from his mistakes. He's saying, listen, I'm going to check the tape. I realize long sleeves is a bad idea. So let's go to Sam Darnold real fast. I will say this for Sam. He's pretty transparent so far this off season, or this You know, I think we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday, and I'm sure you have on Adam's show. He talked about like how he hadn't asked for a trade, mm-hmm. right? People had talked about that, and he said, "I'm not in a position to be able to do that. That's just not who I am." And I'm like, you know what, Sam? That's called transparency. Meanwhile, as we peruse the Panthers quarterback depth chart, my guy Matt Corral, who the Panthers traded up to get in the third round of this year's draft, he talked about competing in the quarterback room.
I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to try to compete and get the starting job by any means necessary. And, you know, like I said, whatever that takes, I'm going to do. And, you know, like I said, wherever the cards fall, let them fall where they fall.
So, Dennis, I'm going to ask you a question here. First of all, I like that from Matt Corral. However, thank the good Lord, we are not playing a drinking game with Panthers training season or training camp, because if competing was the word, we'd be done.
Oh.
We would be done. I respect.
It's like the free space on the bingo
card. It pretty much is. If you don't know what to say, the QB speak, just say competing.
Yeah.
I'll give Matt Corral that. Like, he's, you know, he's saying he's going to compete and compete to get the starting job by any means necessary. Dennis Cox, I will ask you this, and people listening, are we going to see Matt Corral at all this year?
I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, is to not see him.
Yes.
The only way that you may potentially, well, you're only going to dress two quarterbacks during the regular season.
Yeah.
Because you want that extra roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's dressed, that means someone's hurt.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Which either Baker's hurt and you're on Darnold, or, okay, if Darnold got hurt, let's say, in garbage time of a game, then you're to Matt Corral. The goal is for him to not play a regular season game this season.
I agree.
Because I agree. Why?
Sure.
Why would you need him to?
Because you're paying $18 million to Sam Darnold. You're paying mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield $5 million, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason to. I mean, Matt Corral can be the preseason hero. Give it to him.
Yeah.
And then after this year, you decide what happens with Sam and Baker. Depending on what they do, then you go. I'm not sure. Obviously, there's a lot that hinges on this season, because as you look at the Panthers' schedule, the first couple of games are pretty manageable. But after that, you've got, you know, off the top of my head, you've got the Bucks, you've got the Rams. The Panthers could very realistically start 3-5 at best, 2-6. Does that keep Matt Rhule around? We will see. And that depends on, you know, Baker, Sam, we don't know. But I am curious to see what fans, and give us a shout on Twitter, JRAN44. Dennis, put your Twitter out there.
At the Fan Rookie.
I am curious to see if you think Sam Darnold still has the edge. Because I know what people are thinking. You know, Baker's the guy. They brought Baker, and there's no way they can start Sam. But as even Baker said, he's just learning the playbook. You know, there is part of me that feels like, logically, Baker Mayfield starts week one. We traded for him. That shows we have zero confidence in Sam Darnold. Logically, but there's the problem. The Panthers don't operate on logic. At what point in the past 3 years have we said, yeah, that makes perfect sense? So I kind of want to go the opposite.
Yeah.
It makes sense for Baker Mayfield to start. Hence, I could see Sam Darnold starting week one.
If Baker Mayfield doesn't start week one, the whole thing was a failure. Because honestly, you wasted your time with the trade.
Yeah.
Like, you admitted, it's an open admission, if Baker Mayfield is not your starter, if Darnold beats him out, that you made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. That you made a mistake and that you were wrong. Because you brought the guy, because if you're that confident in Sam, you wouldn't have gone after Baker. Plain and simple. So if Darnold beats him out, then you just openly admitted, we screwed that up.
Fair.
And you basically fire yourself.
Yeah.
All honesty, you fire yourself if that's the case. If the guy that you brought in to replace Sam Darnold isn't good enough to replace Sam Darnold, you should be fired. That's basically, fire me.
I'm with you 100%, but I keep coming back to David Tepper's in charge. He likes Matt Rhule a lot for some reason. Matt Rhule has pictures or knows where the bodies are buried.
Like, yeah.
There's a reason he's there, and we shall see. The one thing I wonder, before we get a break here, the one thing I do wonder is if we will get reactions like this in training camp. This is a shout out to our one of our good friends, Brooke Pryor, who mm-hmm. covers the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Tar Heel pro Mitch Trubisky is up in Pittsburgh now, and he's taking some first team reps with Kenny Pickett, ACC champion from Pittsburgh. And she said, This is on Twitter. Mitch Trubisky takes the first, the two first team reps and two incompletions. A fan yells, "Get Pickett in there!" I wonder. Mm-hmm. I wonder if in Spartanburg, and if someone's down there, maybe we'll talk to Chris Lee later and see if some fan interactions, if Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield throws a pick or two or throws an incompletion. Nope. Get the other guy in there. I wonder. Dennis, you're going to, Obvious, I'm sure he's listening attentively. You're gonna take him back to his concert at PNC Arena with Salt and Pepper. Oh, you were there too?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I took my sister for her birthday.
That's awesome. It was, Salt and Pepper. We had En Vogue, New Kids, right?
Yeah, New Kids on the Block. Rick Astley was also there.
You got Rickrolled?
Oh, yeah, we actually did.
Hey!
They actually did.
Come on.
No, this is actually the fun part about that concert. Right. I was telling my sister, I was like, I hope they Rickroll us in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, New Kids on the Block, during one of their sets, teased, like one of their big hits. And they're, like, getting ready to sing it. Boom.
Really?
Never gonna give you.
Oh,
like, I was like,
on.
Yes.
They know.
They knew it.
As the kids say, they understood the assignment.
Exactly. They
nice.
Did. And it was actually, the way they set up that concert was really cool because they, New Kids on the Block started, then En Vogue popped in, then Rick Astley, then like Salt and Pepper, then like they all just kind of bounced around doing like 5, 10, 15 minutes, just kind of flowing in and out. Like they had two stages set up. It was really cool how they actually did all of it.
That's
it was,
awesome.
It was a great show. I'd never been to a concert like that where it was just constantly all the acts just interwoven inside of each other
yeah,
in a different way.
That's En
Vogue, still got it.
That's what I heard.
Still got
I
it.
Heard.
I was like, oh, goodness.
I heard. Nice.
They were wonderful.
You know who did not get Rickrolled this morning?
Hmm.
NC State fans.
Ah.
NC State fans did not get Rickrolled this morning because.
Lucky them.
The all, right.
Or poor them.
Right. No, that's what we'll talk about. Is it good or bad? The ACC preseason awards came out yesterday. We had the ACC team votes come out from ACC Media Kickoff in Charlotte last week. And, of course, we talked about it, and we'll hit on it some more. Clemson number one in the Atlantic, NC State, Wake Forest follows them. Over in the Coastal, you had Miami, Pittsburgh, and Carolina, the top three. And as everyone thought, you know, Boston College and Georgia Tech getting a first-place vote, as everyone thought. But we'll hit on that later. This morning, it broke that none other than your guy, Dennis Cox.
Oh, my guy?
Devin Elizabeth Leary is, that's not his middle name,
but
we're going to go with
it.
I don't know. Devin may tweet at me and go, actually, it's Carl. I don't know. Devin Leary, ACC preseason player of the year.
Yeah.
Devin got 40 votes. Number two, Sam Hartman, Wake Forest quarterback, got 30. Mm. Number three, Tyler Van Dyke, Miami, got 21. And then Brian Breesy, defensive player for Clemson, defensive tackle, great player, was fourth. Dennis, how do we feel about this? First of all, you can put your personal feelings in this because I know you and Devin have a special bond.
No, of course.
Devin Leary, ACC preseason player of the year.
I was looking at the player of the year rankings, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
and five of the top six are quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't know why us as media, we always continue to just go down the route of player of the year or like Heisman or any of this stuff. We ought, or just the position that we emphasize so much more than others, is quarterback. I get it, how it's most important position of the sport. I understand that, but I don't know why us as media that we're afraid to have nuanced conversations about how people actually impact the game. And why are we so afraid to get away from a knuckle-dragging conversation about quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I kind of get tired of, like, QB rankings and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm so over it. Why do us as media, like, just go down just to dumbing things to just one position?
I'll play devil's advocate and I'll say because it's the quarterback position.
Okay.
Because it's the most important position on the field.
And I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
It's the most important position on the field. But guess what? Last time I checked, a quarterback doesn't play defense.
That is accurate.
So why do we always assign wins and losses? Like when ESPN throws up stats about a quarterback, well, this quarterback has a record of blah, blah, blah. I was like, last time I checked, they don't play defense. It's like their only position that – why don't we ever assign it to a middle linebacker? Last time I checked, a linebacker or maybe a safety is the quarterback of the defense. Why don't we ever put a loss on them?
True. I think looking at these rankings, so they had the top 11 players. They would have had 10, but they had two ties. Mm-hmm. Brennan Armstrong was also tied for fourth with Brian Breesy, as you said, another quarterback.
Yeah.
I think, though, and you make a good point, because obviously the quarterback is the focal point of college football, NFL, XFL, Pee-wee, you name it, quarterback's the guy.
Yeah, because
but,
of us.
But, well, yeah, that's fair, but also, you know, they run the ship. However, I will say this for the ACC this year. I think it says also something about maybe this year's a little quarterback-heavy in a good way, in that you've got Lear, you've got Hartman, you've got Van Dyke at Miami, and you don't have those guys like ETN at Clemson, those running backs. Like, I mean, I think if you know, Bam Knight would have stayed for State, he may have gotten a couple of first-place votes. You never know. But you don't have – and I'm not to say that the skill players, the running backs and wide receivers in this ACC class this year aren't top-notch, but maybe it's just that the quarterbacks are overshadowing them because, again, we didn't even mention, as we said, Brennan Armstrong, Virginia. We did mention Josh Downs, but you have to get to number 6, and he's great wide receiver for Carolina. Who knows what he does? Obviously, it depends on who's at quarterback for UNC, but he's number 6 on this list. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Sean Tucker, fantastic running back at Syracuse. It was a little surprising that Syracuse did not get as many votes, in my opinion, for ACC votes. Not that I wanted them to be anywhere in the top 4, but Sean Tucker is really great. But besides that, Josh Downs and Sean Tucker are the only position players or skill players that aren't quarterbacks that got top 10 picks. So I feel like that says something about the ACC is stacked right now in quarterbacks. So it's good.
Yeah, the fact that Sam Hartman was – the fact that Sam Hartman in the year that he had last season, when the way that offense played, the fact that he is second on this list, again, goes to show you a little bit about how deep this – group of quarterbacks are.
Absolutely.
Now again, the skill guys all matter into it as well. College football, you can scheme guys into a lot of numbers as well. Like Brennan Armstrong, don't get me wrong, I think he's a good quarterback, but you can scheme your way. Like Tommy Chang down in Hawaii, scheme his way to 5,000 yards.
Sure.
I mean, some of these numbers can be inflated by the way college football is played, but yeah, overall the quarterbacks are really, really good. But to me, I'm intrigued about how some of these defenses are actually going to look this season.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously the two focal defenses this year are going to be Clemson and NC State.
Yeah.
Clemson's defense is going to be just stacked on the all ACC preseason team. You had three Clemson guys, and you've got you got BT Potter as a place kicker, but you got three Clemson guys as the preseason, and you probably could have had a few more.
Mm-hmm.
NC State's got Peyton Wilson on there, Drake Thomas in there, Tanner Engel in there. You didn't even throw in other guys that State has. It's going to be, I think you're right, I think Clemson and State's defense are going to drive this. But now I want to turn this on its head a little bit, Dennis.
Okay.
Yesterday, Clemson gets the first place nod in the Atlantic Division.
All right.
So, You had some State fans who were excited, right? You know, the disrespect train is back. We're okay.
Yes.
This is good.
Right where we were.
Dabo can't be little old Clemson because you've gotten these first place votes. Today, Devin Leary gets first place nod for preseason player of the year. Good or bad for State? Is it balancing out the feng shui? Is the hype train? What do we need here?
If he throws a pick, we're going to say he's overrated?
Yes.
Is that what we're going to do
like,
now?
Oh, it's
bench that guy.
It's the Madden curse. It's the preseason player of the year curse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Mitch Trubisky throws two incomplete passes, like you said, Brooke Pyre. Put Pickett in.
Put him in.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what we're going to do? Oh, he threw an interception. Overrated.
Overrated.
Because he only has, 276 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
And he had 34 touchdowns as opposed to the 35 he had last year.
Yeah, so, sure. I don't know. To me, the expectation for the team doesn't change. The expectation for Leary doesn't change. Everyone's expecting him to have a big season.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to lie, there's some of that Heisman train.
They're trying.
That people are starting to try to throw coals on that engine and try and get that steam up. Trust me, people are steamed up for Devin Leary this
season.
And people, he's preseason player of the year. That's fine. To me, it was either him or Sam Hartman.
Yeah.
That's probably who was going to be picked. I don't know. Why can't Drake Thomas be preseason player of the year, though?
That's a good point. He could. But, I mean, as far as defensive players led the way over the skill players, so it kind of says something this year that quarterbacks, the media basically said this year, it's a quarterback league and it's a defensive league.
It's always a quarterback thing.
And that's okay.
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah.
With us, it's always a quarterback thing.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I hate it. I genuinely, like, do not like it because, for example, all right, we talked about there's someone on defense that calls out the defense
sure.
during the game, right?
Maybe a Peyton Wilson for State, a middle linebacker, or a Drake Thomas.
Okay. Yeah. So if they're ones that are calling out the defense, adjusting the defense, audibling based off what the offense is doing, getting coverage and all that stuff, shifting the defensive line, whatever it may be, like a quarterback does. So if a defense gets lit up, why aren't we saying that guy should be benched? Or why don't we put the loss on that guy?
Yeah.
Or if that team wins, why don't we put it on, like, why don't we give that guy a win? Last time I checked, he's quarterbacking the defense. So why do we always just default to fantasy numbers? That's what we do. We just default to fantasy numbers.
I wonder if it's because I picked up Phil Steele's college football preview today, went over to Barnes & Noble's, and, you know, it was Josh Downs is on the Athlon cover. You got Devin Leary on this cover. It's an offensive league. It's an offensive sport, man.
We fantasy football.
Quarterbacks are sexy.
That's what it is. Because we see all these big numbers and stuff like that. It's like, well, yeah. Well, also this guy had 12 tackles.
Yeah.
you know, like
it'll be interesting to see. But like I said, Devin Leary, 40 first place votes. Sam Hartman got 30. So your preseason player of the year, Devin Leary. We will see if that balances out the disrespect / hype train for NC State. I don't want to interrupt T. Swift. I don't. I'm a Swiftie. There, I said it. It's the OG, Jonathan Brand.
We all knew that.
Well, yeah, big surprise. It's a surprise I'm wearing. It's either a Braves shirt or a T. Swift shirt. So you're getting the Braves today. Even though they lost, I'm not mad. It's the OG, Jonathan Rand, filling in for Ovius and Giglio. They will be back, or Ovius will be back tomorrow. We might talk to Giglio today, depending on what hole he is on at Pinehurst.
Dennis, oh, Pinehurst.
I think he's at Pinehurst. If he's not, maybe he's at Pine Hollow, and I just got him mixed up. Dennis Cox in the producer's chair.
Pine Forest.
Pine Lake.
Pine Needles.
We don't know where Giglio is. We'll play that game later in the show. Speaking of Ovius and Giglio, though, Ovius, 99 fans, Joe Ovius, interviews influencers who change the game we know today in North Carolina and explore why certain things still matter and the impact of events to your favorite teams. It's a brief history of Triangle Sports podcast sponsored by Copiers Plus, your local office equipment and solutions provider. Take the mystery out of your printing expenses by scheduling your free print audit today at copiers-plus.com. A brief history of Triangle Sports is available now on WRALSportsFan.com or wherever you get your podcast. Dennis, I know Ovius kind of wrapped it up for the summer. He had a couple of great episodes to kind of wrap things up about the Raleigh Bullfrogs and the Ice Caps.
Mm-hmm.
Just some good stuff that that people in the area, if you've lived here for a while, kind of reminisce on. So go check that out, A Brief History of Triangle Sports. Hey, Dennis Cox. We got some questions. Send them in. @JRand44 @TheFanRookie. Normally at this time we play a Hey Joe, but as I look to my left and my right, there are no Joes present.
Yeah.
Today we play Hey Rand. Joe cracked it on. Oh, no intro. Oh, that's okay.
Sorry, I didn't have time to put one together for you.
What?
I was producing another show.
What? Oh, man, that's my fake surprise.
This one comes from Kevin. Hey, Rand,
yes.
What's more likely, App State beats Carolina by 2 touchdowns on September 3rd mm-hmm. or 3 touchdowns?
Ah, shout out to Kevin. Thanks for the question. Yeah, Carolina plays App State September 3rd. I was actually just looking at the schedule, Dennis, and I thought that it was the opener for Carolina as well. It's the opener for App. Mm-hmm. It is not. Carolina gets a little start against FAMU, Florida at Atlantic, I believe. Is that right?
Florida A&M.
A&M, sorry, what did I say? Florida A&M, you're correct. So does App State win by 2 or 3 touchdowns? It's going to be tough, right, because I love App. I got some good friends who went there, but also, you know, I love Mac Brown, and it's week 2 for Carolina. If it was week 1, I might lean more towards that. Not 2 touchdowns. I'm probably going to take Carolina in that game, even though it's a road game. They say that in college football and the NFL, they say that, you know, you make your biggest strides from week 1 to week 2. So that'll give whoever's the starting quarterback for Carolina at the time, that'll give them a little bit more a little more reps, a little more comfortability. However, playing in the Rock is tough.
Yeah.
gorgeous, gorgeous stadium. If you have not gotten the chance to go up to Boone for a game, go. I don't think you can go for this game, though, because I'm 97% sure it's sold out. I'm going to say, unfortunately, Kev, App State does not beat Carolina at home. Carolina squeaks it out with a late field goal, but who knows? I hear Appalachian's pretty good at blocking field goals in their history. So,
allegedly.
Yeah. What say you, Dennis? You think 2 touchdowns, 3, or you got Carolina in that one?
I think Carolina wins it narrowly, but I wouldn't be shocked if App wins this.
Sure.
I just wouldn't be. But like you mentioned, the week zero game for UNC is going to be a benefit to them because they, you know, get the kinks out a little bit. They have a nice preseason game that'll count towards their record against FAMU.
That's it.
In week zero. But honestly, that opening weekend as a whole, because State's at ECU, UNC's at App, for this state and college football, fun.
Do we have
fun
enough,
weekend?
Do we have enough TVs?
No, both those games kick off at noon.
I was
going to
ask. I knew State was at noon. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Is it Mountain Time? No, it's not. It's Eastern Standard.
I know. Unfortunately, I don't know. I might hopefully be. Chris and I are Culture State for Saturdays. We might try and go on location for one of those.
Ooh, that's going to be great. Now, the big question that Kevin did not mention is if Appalachian does win, or App State, whatever you want to call them, does that give App State, does that count towards their future ACC wins when they're a member of the conference in like 15 years?
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, like, granted, that's like an ACC Big Ten game because if Carolina goes to the Big Ten in 10 years, give or take, App State, you know, we're going to do
Well, I was thinking App State's Big Ten matchup should always be Michigan.
It absolutely should, but you know they don't want to do that again.
Never.
All right, what's next, Dennis?
What?
Next up, from Graham on Twitter. Thanks, Stephen A., for joining.
Yeah.
From Graham on Twitter, our guy Graham. Hey, Rand, when are we going to do karaoke duo at the Tin Roof?
Okay, I'm going to interject here real
please
quick.
Please
Graham,
do.
Graham?
Yes.
Remember who taught you how to run these boards?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Why you got to leave me out?
Oh, okay, a trio.
No, I'm just talking to Graham. Why does he got to leave me out?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
I got
just me and Graham. I got beef, Graham.
Yeah.
I got beef with you now.
Graham, you're gonna have to deal with Cox on that. First of all, Graham, absolutely, we're gonna karaoke duo whenever, man. I'm all the way down for some karaoke.
I get it.
And Dennis can come too if he wants.
Oh, okay.
I
don't want to be backdoor
the
invited.
The afterthought, right?
I don't want to be backdoor invited.
Here's the question, though. Here's the question for all everyone in like tweet us JRand44 at the Fan Rookie. Do you have a go-to like set list for yourself karaoke-wise, Dennis? I was going to say, honestly, like real talk, and some people may have not done karaoke since the pandemic. Get it? Got it. But you have your, obviously, there's the unofficial, official list of you can't do these songs in karaoke, right? Do you know those?
No.
Like you can't do Whitney at karaoke.
No.
You can't do, you can't, you people do though. You can't do Don't Stop Believin'. Don't do Journey.
No.
Don't do Journey.
Don't do Journey.
Don't do it.
Too long of an instrumental.
That's fair. And then there's like, you sing it, and then there's, like you said, there's 30, 45 seconds of you just standing there. It's awkward. But don't do it. You're not Steve Perry. Don't do it. But do you have your go-to? Do you have
a go-to song for me, Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Frankie Valli.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Four Seasons. I see you. I'm going to stick a little... That's not really localish because I don't think he's from here, but Chris Stapleton, I do some Tennessee whiskey, but it's just, it gets to that point where it's really high and I have to like kind of come down a little bit. But the reason I do it is because the opening guitar in there, people go crazy for it. And so they're excited before you even start singing.
Yeah. That's the thing. You have to find a song that you can't do well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find the song that gets people up.
Yeah.
Gets them going.
Like,
right?
I mean, it doesn't. I once lost, and I don't think this place exists but anymore, because I was, speaking of App and Boone, I was at the library in Boone years ago. I think it's shut down, RIP the library, but I lost to one of my best friends, Steve, in karaoke, huh?
I said, why would anyone shut down a library?
People weren't returning books.
Oh.
People weren't returning books. Return your books, people. But yeah, I was once at the library, and one of my best friends, Steve, beat me in karaoke that night singing Pretty Fly for a White Guy. He wasn't, like, fantastic.
Yeah.
But the crowd was into it,
That's
and it
what
was
you
a crowd
need.
Vote, and you gotta be smart, and he outsmarted me. So, Graham, I will meet you at karaoke for Tin Roof. Dennis might come, but He wants an invite. So,
No. I don't want a backdoor invite. Okay. I'm not coming now.
That's fair. Next up in Hey Rand.
We got
Rand.
Better tonight.
We did. Thank you, Coach Gottfried. I appreciate that.
From Eric, hey, Jonathan.
Yes.
Will you be allowing Joe and Joe back into the studio, or is this now 99.9 The Rand?
Ooh, can we?
I can answer that.
Yeah. It is?
Keep him out.
Yeah, keep him out. Have we adjusted the studio? Have we done that yet?
No, we're going to.
Okay,
though.
Good. We'll get Shelby and Bree on like some new marketing things, some new stickers.
Yeah.
99.9 The Rand. I kind of like it. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate that. Maybe we'll just call into Ovius and Gilio and let them know, let them down easy. But I appreciate that. I think I actually skipped one from Brownlow, so can we go to the Brownlow one? We'll go to Brownlow's next.
Holy balls.
Oh, Coach Logan. That makes me excited. Yeah, this is from Brownlow. Hey, Rand. Was episode 3 of The Bachelorette the best episode in series history? Okay, Brownlow, first of all, shout out because miss you. I have to be honest. I haven't seen the episode yet. I'm so disappointed in myself. This season of The Bachelorette, and if you want to tune out for 30 seconds, it's perfectly understandable. They have two bachelorettes, Dennis Cox. Don't yawn back there. They have two bachelorettes, and the only thing that I've seen from this episode, and you'll appreciate this, Dennis, it's a sports reference. Annie Agar, who's a big NFL tweeter, she's a social media presence, very, very funny. There was a clip of one of the Bachelorette contestants throwing a football to the Bachelorette and her running out of the way. I mean, completely leaving the scene and it just dropping on the ground. And Annie Agar tweeted, Jared Goff on third down. And I was like, very well done. Very well done.
So there is. Now, last time I checked, if you have two Bachelorettes, you have no Bachelorette.
Ah! It's basically,
that's the thing.
Wait a minute.
If you have two Bachelorettes, you have no Bachelorette.
Have we stumbled on something? Is ABC's The Bachelorette actually the Carolina Panthers?
They're trying to run a two bachelorette system,
no.
And it does not work.
That's a good point.
No, it does not work.
That's a good point.
It's not the bachelorettes.
Yeah.
It's the bachelorette. You can't have two.
Although both of the bachelorettes might be better quarterback options than the Panthers currently have.
Either way. But my point being is that you can't just have like a package just for like the second bachelorette. No.
That's fair.
You have one.
I do hope. I know David Tepper and Matt Rhule are big fans of this program, and they listen regularly. So now I'm worried that they are extending offers to those two bachelorettes, because why not? We have quarterback money to spare. So, yeah. Good point, Dennis. Next up.
It means more.
It does mean more. SEC Media Days. I kind of want. I wanted that to be Greg Sankey, just because. Mm-hmm. Last up in Hey Rand, from Kyler on Twitter. Hey, Rand. How would you feel about a homework clause in your contract? Now, this is referencing, thanks, Kyler. I appreciate Kyler Murray tweeting out, because as Gilio will remind you, all these questions on Hey Joe are very real and legitimate, and all of them are, actually have been. Yeah, Kyler Murray, he signed this ridiculous contract with the Arizona Cardinals, got a lot of money, and it's pretty deserved. I mean, it's hard to say. But one of the clauses, Dennis, and you saw this, he has to do 4 hours of, did I read this right, homework?
Independent study.
Ah, what does that mean? Does he have a tutor?
Last time I checked, they put parental controls on his video gaming system. Like, they hide his controller.
Yeah.
And he has to just make sure he does his homework.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And, like, washes his face and brushes his teeth and makes his bed.
Okay.
All that stuff before he goes to sleep at night.
Now,
or wakes up in the morning.
And he logs it all. Like on like Excel or something.
In good faith.
It's in good faith.
It's
okay,
in
cool.
Good faith. The fact that you have to have this in good faith.
First, I can't with this. Like, how old is Kyler? He's
old enough.
He's old enough. What are we doing, Cardinals? Do they not know how embarrassing this is? Now, I will say this. You know, I don't think Kyler cares too much, because he can, you know, wipe his embarrassed tears with his millions of dollars that he's just made. But any other quarterback in the NFL, a homework clause? Are you kidding me? Ryan Clark, he echoes those sentiments.
Like, are they going to put a camera in his house, or is there a place where he's going to, like, is it going to be 24-hour Kyler Murray surveillance? Does he have to do this in the building? And why would you ever have to ask the quarterback of a football team to do 4 hours of independent study a week? Listen, I played football back when you had a DVD and I had the big fat white Mac laptop and I would just put the DVD in and do, you could do four, you're supposed to do 4 hours a day, 4 hours a night. Is this, and God bless his soul, Jamarcus was on our show. Is this the Jamarcus Russell rule? That now we have to mandate this, and you mandate this to somebody you gave $160 million guaranteed? Right, and so now when I think back to early on in the offseason, and I think to some of the headbutting we had and some of the putting out the narratives or the anonymous things we heard out of Arizona, those things were true. That Kyler Murray didn't work the way that they wanted. That Kyler, and he's big into gaming. Maybe they want to get him off of the game sometimes, but this is not a good sign to me.
No, I agree. There's nothing wrong with gaming, but this is so bad on so many levels. First of all, it looks bad for Kyler Murray, right? And Kyler is an incredible talent. Could have played baseball, but he decided to play football. Amazing talent. But you've got 31 other NFL quarterbacks who are starting, and you got probably some other ones too who are like looking at this going, you have to do homework, bud? I mean, are you kidding me? And I get it. Good for you to get your money. But how embarrassing is it for you for a starting quarterback to now have this leash on you that guys, I can only play Call of Duty so much tonight because I've got to watch film. I mean, it's bad for Kyler, but also it's bad for the Cardinals to say, like, we got our franchise quarterback. He's really immature. He doesn't study film. He games too much. We really hope that he can, you know, use his talent and get us to a Super Bowl because we have one of the greatest receivers in the generation and we've got a pretty solid defense. God, are you... Cardinals, what are we doing?
It's almost like I'm not a parent.
Yes.
But I've seen parents that when their kid does the thing they're supposed to do, they get rewarded.
Oh, yes.
You know? Or as they incentivize the kid to do the thing that they're supposed to do by giving them the treat before they do it.
Mm.
It's like, no, you should do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Mm. Like, why are we incentivizing or rewarding somebody who doesn't put in the extra work?
Yeah.
If it's that legitimate of a problem, why are you giving him the money? If you're that scared of him not putting, if you're questioning his work ethic, then why'd you pay him this much money?
And listen, Kyler's a great talent. And he might even, we're going to hear Cliff Kingsbury in a second talk about what he thinks of Kyler, and he is an amazing talent, and he may even get him to the Super Bowl. But if he doesn't, this is bad. It's a bad look. It's a poor, you know, way to spend your money. But also, it basically, we talked about the Panthers, right? Mm-hmm. And being transparent, we saw when Sam Darnold when the Panthers picked up Baker Mayfield, basically the Panthers were saying, "Hey Sam, thanks for that 1 year. We don't have that much confidence in you. We're going to bring Baker in." Competition's not like they can say it all they want. Competition isn't the best thing all the time for Sam Darnold. His ego's got to be like, are you kidding me? You're paying me $18 million and you're not confident in me now? This is the Cardinals basically saying, telling everyone, like, we don't have confidence in this guy and his work ethic, and we think he needs to do a better job. Like, you handle that in-house. Don't put it on the contract where everybody can see.
Yeah.
But Cliff Kingsbury, who is also very much on the hot seat, because what has Cliff done to fail up? Cliff Kingsbury talked about Kyler's claws.
I have not. When I watch what he's done since he got here the first year and his development in all areas, all he's done is gotten dramatically better each and every year. And that's what I judge it by. There's a handful of quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with in this league, and we feel like he's one of them.
You better be right, Cliff. You better be right. Real quick, the Cardinals open the season with the Chiefs. Ouch. At Las Vegas. Ouch. At home against the Rams. Ouch. At the Panthers. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch, but different kind of ouch.
Yeah.
We'll see. You never know. They got the Eagles. You got the Seahawks. Okay, Dennis, me and you and like nine of our friends might could take the Seahawks right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, to start the season, be careful, because Cardinals go 0-3, go 1-4 to start the year. Cliff Kingsbury's seat's burning. He ain't sitting down anymore. And people are going to ask Kyler. I mean, how many times in the press conference now are people going to go, hey, Kyler, You threw two picks tonight. Was that a result of you not doing your homework this week? This is just bad, bad, bad for the Cardinals. We got one more in Hey Rand, right, Dennis?
You done messed up, A-Rod!
God, one of my favorite Key and Peele's.
All right, this also comes, last one, from our good friend J-Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Rand, you get to add, eliminate, change one rule in any sport, and it's a permanent change. What would you do?
Oh, wow. Add, eliminate, change one rule in any sport, and it's a permanent change. Okay, my first instinct here, Dennis, and I want you to answer this one too.
Okay.
I'm a baseball guy, hence the Braves. Don't get mad at us. We lost 6-2 today to the Phillies. It's fine. I'm not mad. My one change, elimination, would be Rob Manfred, quit trying to tinker with the game. We don't need a ghost man on second during extra innings. I know games go long sometimes. Oh, no. Oh, no. It is not a big deal. Quit with the ghost man on second in extra innings. It's dumb. It's not baseball. It speeds it up, but it doesn't help with it. Gives one team an advantage. You never really know which team it is, but it gives one team an advantage, and it's dumb to speed up the game. I don't like it. I am a baseball old school guy, so sue me. It's fine. I get it. I think it's a dumb rule. I would take that out, and I would also take Rob Manfred out too, if that was a rule that I could change.
Okay.
Dennis.
Oh, this is
it's a good one.
This is a tough one.
Well, you get to add, eliminate, or change one rule in any sport, and it's permanent.
I would like to, in the NBA, there's a lot of rules I would like to change overall in sports. Like, for example, college football, I would like for the clock to not stop on first downs.
Oh.
The game needs to be faster, in my opinion. There's no reason why a college football game should take over 4 hours.
Yes, for tailgates, Dennis. Like, come on. Like, we're hanging out. Like, we're watching the game.
Yeah, that's what's before the game.
And after. Like, it should be an all-day affair. Keep going.
Well, yeah, exactly. Less time in the stadium means more time to tailgate in the parking lot, Rand. You're making my point.
I'm helping you.
Point, right? And we got a minute left. Less timeouts in the NBA. They get, like, 7 in a game.
That is fair.
With all the stoppages already with TV timeouts and reviews and all that stuff. You should not have 7 timeouts in an NBA game.
I agree.
No, 4.
I like that. You know, I also probably agree with you there. He's never been an NBA head coach, but Roy Williams, he'd be like, you know what, give me 2. I'm fine.
Well, no, he would only use 3 anyway.
That's fair. That's fair. This is the OG. Thank you for those Hey Rand questions.